Games in this podcast range from E to M.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the official Xbox podcast, the only podcast coming to you from inside Xbox. Your eyes doth not deceive you. I am back for a show. But before we get into it, obviously, if you're watching on YouTube, just know if you want to take us on the go, you can do that on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast services around the globe. I stole that from another show, but we won't talk about it.
Yes, you did.
Before we get into all the things we're going to talk about, we're going to go to my co-host, the illustrious, the institution, Jeff Rubes Rubenstein. How's it going?
It's fine. You screwed up the first time when you said institution. That's a good thing.
It feels like,
you know, the post office is an institution.
It's reliable. Maybe not. You know what? We're going to go with illustrious. Jeff, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing great. It's good to have you back. So this is the first time you've been on the show from your new home here. The fact that I see sun coming in your window is infuriating. So, you know, how's it been going?
Listen, it's been awesome, Jeff. Let me tell you, you're right. The sun glow, like I get to walk out for like lunch breaks and just like bask in the sun. It's 75. It's sunny. But you know what I do? I keep Washington, Seattle on my weather app just so I can, it just reminds me, you know, it just gives me a little bit of a ha 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 ha, it's raining back there. And, which is, not really nice, but honestly, no, it's been great. Lots of things to explore down here in Southern California. And so I don't know, it's been really nice. And so, I send my regards, but I will actually, you know, I was going to say like, I'm on this week, we're doing this virtually and we may be on in studio.
You're going to be up here in the rain. Water is life, by the way. So like when you come up here and your skin will thank you, you'll be like,
that's true.
So much moisture. You can save, I save thousands of dollars a year on expensive moisturizers.
But obviously thank you for joining us. All of you out there listening and watching. We're an Xbox show. So we're going to talk about video games for a little bit. Yeah. So what have you been playing though, Jeff?
So over here, it is weird not being in the studio. The studio, the crew was busy and they were like, yeah, you figure it out. So here we are, but we'll be back in the studio next week. So a couple games came out that were very, very, very different on Game Pass last week. Actually, a lot of games came out on Game Pass last week. We talked about this one, Rollerdrome, which, let me just tell you, I did not know what this game was, and what I thought it was is not what it was. And I'm glad I saw this. I was like, oh, shooting and skating. This must be like some sort of multiplayer arena game. I don't know if I have room for that in my life, to be honest. And then you can look, it's campaign. That's what it is. It's a single player game of a sport in the future that visually it looks a lot like Sable. I don't know if you played Sable last year, which it's very different than Sable, but it has that sort of like that cartoon. It just has that visual style.
I describe,
like
yeah.
Heavy lines. Yeah. If you played Sable, it looks like this. Does not have a soundtrack by Japanese Breakfast, but the music is actually really good in here as well, as is really quite a few elements of it. So runs super smooth. I mean, you've been playing this too, I know, because we had kind of talked about this, but it kind of reminded me like if you're playing Tony Hawk, but like people were trying to kill you while you're playing Tony Hawk, and you're in these arenas and you can basically fight back, and you're ultimately trying to one, survive, two, not hit the microphone, and three, to actually score points. So I've survived through these. I've never been like super good at like racking up, you know, big combos or anything like that. And my first thought was like, well, why would I even bother doing tricks at all? I'm just going to go through and shoot these people. Yeah. Well, it turns out,
you need it for ammo.
You do. Ammo. So tell us about that.
Jeff, let me tell you, well, let me take a few steps back. All you know that like I play like one or two games and Jeff's like, play a new game, Malik. And I agree with that. Like nobody wants to hear you come on the show and talk about the same game over and over again. But little did I know that Jeff and I were going to play the same game. I started it last night. And listen, if you are looking for a new game to play, I would highly suggest Rollerdrome, because my journey with it, I did the voiceover for This Week on Xbox last week. And so we were that was in the script. And then I watched the show and I was like, I had no clue what it looked like. And then I was like, let me give it a shot. And it is so dang cool. Like you, like Jeff mentioned, like you're literally roller skating, which by the way, roller skating, way underrated, by the way. I see people doing it all the time here in San Diego. And if I had that coordination.
You do that when it's dry. You don't want to skate through a puddle. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't do that. But it is so cool. It takes you to this really in-depth tutorial where it shows you how to do tricks and how to rack up points and stuff like that. And you have to do tricks to get ammo and you can dodge like other people's attacks. And it's got an interesting story. It's like this International Rollerdrome Federation who's like putting on these. The one scene has you going into the locker room and you open your locker and literally you have your roller skates and you have like a shotgun in your locker room. Like this is the most ridiculous game ever, but I love it. I highly recommend it. It's easy to pick up and start playing. Yep. So give it a shot. And it's on Xbox Game Pass.
So it's on Game Pass. Give it a shot. This immediately hooked me. And because it's a campaign and I don't feel super compelled to S rank everything. Be nice if I did better than like a D plus, but
D.
You know, I'm working on it. I'm learning. But when you string something together where you, you know, you're going towards someone, you jump, you unload into like, you know, this person that's trying to hit you with a bat and then you're out of ammo and you land and you grind for a bit and then you do a flip and then you've reloaded your ammo and then you hold down left trigger and you do slow motion and you shoot a missile out of the air that is being launched at you and then take out a sniper and you're dodging. Like you go into like a flow state. And I think great games with great mechanics, going all the way back to like Tetris or Pac-Man, even like you can go into a flow state and you're like, okay, there's something here. I'm doing things I didn't think I was capable of. And I'm doing that in Rollerdrome. And I guess that's the highest compliment I can give it.
Give it a shot if you're listening to this. And again, like to your point on the flow, like you can't like mess up, like even if you're about to fall, like you just roll through it. And so again, highly recommend it on Xbox Game Pass. But what else have you been playing, Jeff? Any other cool games?
The complete opposite of this game,
okay.
Which is called Spirit of the North Enhanced Edition. So we had a partner preview video that Tina, our typical co-host, she'll be back next week, worked on, and where Spirit of the North 2 was revealed. If you remember the cute fox game, and I was like, I never played the original one, and like. The good folks at Game Pass, they listen to everything that I just turns out they're good at planning ahead. They're like, people probably want to play the original. So they put the enhanced edition of the game into Game Pass. And you're a fox like going through like deep snow, theoretically far in the north, getting journey vibes. There was like a significant amount of sliding on ice, which is very fun. But then it turns into a more of a puzzler later on, where you have these abilities where you're able to sort of absorb energy from these flowers, and then you can put them into stones or other things like that that allow, you know, mechanics to move and to get further on and go where you're going. Really hand talking here quite a bit right now, but
hey, you're into it, man. You're passionate.
Yeah,
that's passion, man.
I really like the music in this game, and I will say like play this game for more than 10 minutes, because in the first 10 minutes of the game, like I think I missed like what I was supposed to be doing. And I was like ready to shut it off. And then I was like, I'm just going to go back here one more time. And then I figured out, I walked right past the place I was supposed to go. And there was just like a little cave or something. And then I played it for like 90 minutes straight. And so, again, two very different games, both are on Game Pass. That's what I love about it is like, there's three or four games that just came out in the last week on Game Pass. SteamWorld Build is another one. I think I talked about it last week where it's like, I'm going to try it out. And this is a game I probably would not have like turned my head previously, but it's just sitting there staring at me. And I downloaded it and I mark it as a favorite on my Xbox. And then I'm like, of course I'm going to play this, like in between 100%. Alan Wake and everything else. Cause
It's so hard to keep up. And I'll do a little quick plug and show and tell, because you mentioned downloading the game. Or you can use cloud gaming and just stream it if you want to give it a shot and try. But I have to show off and flex a little bit the new
Steam Deck OLED, right?
OLED, of course. It's not showing up the greatest on camera. If you're listening, I'm showing up.
Oh, that's good.
It's the limited edition. Yes, I did spring for like just the color, the little pop of color and the 1 terabyte. But this is awesome as a Xbox Cloud Gaming device. So if any of the games that we've been talking about, you want to give a shot, you don't necessarily want to spend time downloading it, or maybe you want to save a little bit of that bandwidth or that bandwidth cap, give it a shot. Cloud Gaming, you could also do that on the console. Just
I do with Spirit of the North. Yeah. I was like, well, let me just hit it. And, within 10 seconds, I was in the sort of like, the title screen. So, yeah.
There you have it.
Yeah.
Cool. And so we're going to move on. I'm going to talk a little bit about Halo because, of course, I've been playing Halo, but we got that a little bit further down. If you want to check out some new releases that are coming to Xbox, you want to play any of the games we talked about or games that just released on Xbox, you know where to go to check out the list, news.xbox.com, and we'll have that list for you. We do have a few patches and updates for some of the games that you may be playing yourself, including, like I mentioned, Halo Infinite. Jeff, I know you've been playing Halo Infinite. I have been playing, outside of last night, nothing but Halo Infinite. I'm still rocking that Halo 3 Refueled playlist, as well as a little bit of Slayer here and there. But we have the December mid-season update with the long-awaited Firefight King of the Hill update. I know so many people have been playing, waiting for that, I should say, and a lot of the impressions are hitting, and it is available now. Jeff, how excited are you for that?
Yeah, no surprise we don't record this the day it comes out.
Yeah.
It actually came out like while we were starting to record. Mm-hmm. And so this is something I want to say I talked about maybe a month ago. Not that you should remember everything I say, but I got to go to visit 343 and got to play this in one of its sort of final testing rounds. And this is, for me, the most fun I've had with Halo Infinite since, the first few months of launch, since season one, where it was just, everything was clicking. You really get a feel for just how great this game controls. And maybe it's because it's a full PvE mode, and so I wasn't dying immediately. I'm not the worst player. I hold my own. But, I felt like a champ in Firefight King of the Hill. And if you've never played Firefight, it's sort of a wave-based, player versus computer, PvE, player versus enemy. Enemy? Is that what it stands for?
Yeah, enemy. Or everyone. Yeah. Everyone?
Yeah, maybe. Anyway,
when you're
playing, whether you matchmake or you come in with a group, you're not playing against other humans. You are playing against the best that the banished have to offer, and they're coming at you. And you're defending these hills, but you defend multiple of them. There's a huge write up over on Halo Waypoint. Let me tell you, they thought of everything because it was. Firefight goes back a ways, and Firefight King of the Hill, it changes for a little bit. And they get into why they chose to do this particular mode. They got into why they chose the way that you respawn, as opposed to coming out of like a pool, like a team pool of lives to fail. And you can fail this. I didn't, but then again, probably it was only just playing on normal level. I wasn't impressing anybody. But it gets into skulls. It gets into how you can customize the game. They've really thought of everything. And to me, this is like that Friday night game where it's like, let's all get together, except it'll be, today's Thursday, except real today for us is Tuesday. I'm going to be playing this tonight and getting everyone together. And I think it's going to be one of those games where you're going to have a good time playing the game, but also you'll be chatting with your friends about whatever it is. Of course, you can matchmake and you can do all of that, but I'm just very excited for this. So get on it. Update now.
100%. Updates out now, like Jeff said. And again, also improvements to rank, Forge updates, and just as 343 has been doing, amazingly quality of life updates. And so the game 343
healer tool as well.
What was that?
There's a healer tool that's sort of neutral where you can sort of throw it down and it will repair
vehicles.
Anything.
Yeah.
But it'll repair enemies as well. So you got to be really, so if you just throw it in the middle of a battle, they could benefit from it too. So,
it's funny. I thought you said humor tool and I was like, wow, what is that?
Yeah. I could use healer. A little bit of that. We could all,
couldn't we all? But no, again, I think 343 is in their moment. And of course, you're like, oh, you work at Xbox, of course you're saying that. No, I think Halo is as great as it's ever been right now. So be sure to check that out. We also have an update from Sea of Thieves, the Safer Seas update, which is basically a new branch, right, Jeff, of Sea of Thieves, allowing players to kind of just jump in and just kind of get their bearings, something that is probably useful for me. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to check it out or even seen the trailer.
Yeah, but, yeah, I did. The great video put up by the good folks at Rare. It's about 4 minutes. It goes through all the details of what and why. I love the sort of the transparency with the players. So there's, like you said, it is a different branch of the game where the main difference is there's no PvP. It's called Safer Seas. Doesn't mean the seas are safe. There's still safer. Many things that can kill you out there, but what you don't have to worry about as you're completing a tall tale or you know, you're performing different missions is you're not going to have to worry about sails coming over the horizon of another player that is going to come in and steal all your stuff or sink your ship or whatever. And so for a lot of players, like that's that sort of serendipity is what makes Sea of Thieves special. But I do, and that of course still exists in like the main game, which they're referring to now as High Seas. But for people that, and they have some good examples, if you're just learning the game, well, yeah, this is a great opportunity to learn the game without worrying about that. If you're a parent playing with your kids and you just want to like just have fun sailing, and there is like I will say like this game can be like such a chill game, such a cozy game when you're sailing and the weather is great and you're just hearing the waves, and you know it can be equally like tumultuous when you're in a storm and you're, you know, under assault from all sort of different directions and everything. So this makes it just a little bit more peaceful in that respect for people who want that in their lives. So I'm glad that Rare listened to fans that do want this. There is, as a result of this pretty significantly reduced difficulty, like the rewards for certain things are adjusted in terms of like how much gold you would get for completing, you know, different things. But looking at the comments in like the YouTube video and even when this was announced, there's definitely people who've been waiting for this and who want this and are going to enjoy it. And that's what matters.
I can tell you right now, Jeff, the people who are going to benefit the most from this are people who are in my, who are playing with me, because for the most part, all I do in Sea of Thieves, I help a lot. You know, I patch the holes at the bottom of the ship. I pale the water out. So those are the kinds of things that I do. And so now having a mode where maybe we don't need to worry as much about doing those kinds of things, I can get a little bit better. I like how you mentioned it's for, you know, people who are jumping in the game for the first time. But for people like me who've been playing for years who still are not great at it, this is also a great update. So I'm excited to jump in. And then let's shift gears. That's a terrible pun. To Forza Horizon 5, the winter. I know it was a rough one. The Winter Wonderland update is out now. Tons of what I love that games are doing are, you know, really taking advantage of the season and the fact that a ton of people are going to be home playing and doing a really cool season themed updates. And so for this one, lots of car specific updates as well as a lot of other really cool things. And so you can obviously go to Forza.net to check out the full details of the update. And again, Forza Horizon 5 has just been a game that I just go back to so often, just because I think the team over at Playground are just so creative at like keeping that game feeling fresh. And again, I just love the idea of being in Mexico at a music festival with really fast cars. And it seems like
I always get a bunch of wheel spins whenever I go back. Yeah.
Of course, get some new stuff. And so all of those updates, Halo Infinite, Sea of Thieves, and Forza Horizon 5, all those games have updates coming out or out now. So be sure to check it out. Other things going on in the video game industry. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention that a trailer dropped yesterday for us that seems to have broke the internet. So, you know, Grand Theft Auto 6. So excited to see that game come out. I'm going to be doing everything I can to make sure that I survive through 2025. Things like, you know, only crossing the street when the walk sign's on. Anything that can take me out, I will not be doing between now and 2025, just so I can be alive for GTA 6. So I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, definitely some Florida memories coming back there.
Lots of them.
Did they put Publix in the game? That's what I want to know. There was a lot. There was a whole group of us in our work chat that lived in Florida, and they're like, yep. Oh, yeah.
That's Florida. 100%. Yep. So be sure to check out the trailer. It is currently out there breaking records right now. It's in a battle for the fastest liked video of all time. So we'll see if it actually hits that. And of course, if you're watching this on the day that we release this podcast, which is Thursday, December, what day are we releasing? 7th. Then it is the Game Awards. The Game Awards are tonight. And so we don't know what's won yet. If you're watching it after it's already aired, then you know you're from the future. But really excited to see obviously the premiere, see what games get honored. Again, I think this has been one of the greatest years. We've talked about this many times in gaming history. And so many great games, and you will be able to enjoy a lot of those games that are nominated on Xbox Game Pass. I have a quick list that I'll run through. Forza Motorsport, Hi-Fi Rush, Starfield, of course, City Skylines on PC Game Pass, Cocoon, No Man's Sky, Dead Space, Jeff's favorite, Lies of P, Party Animals, and Sea of Stars. So there's so many games that are on Game Pass that are nominated. Congrats to all the games who are just being nominated, and congrats even more to the winners coming out of tonight's show.
We'll talk about that next week, because then we'll know things. We don't. Yeah.
That's right.
One other bit of news I was just looking at is that hit, and we have it over on Xbox Wire, is a game I got to play at Game Developers Conference, GDC, last March, April, whenever GDC is, called Botany Manor. It now has a release window coming out spring on Game Pass day one on Xbox Series X and S. Did you ever play The Witness?
Is that puzzle game?
Yeah, one of the best puzzle games. Games of all time. very challenging for sure, but really, really loved it. And I got a lot of like Witness vibes on this. It's more about like doing interesting things to like get these one-of-a-kind plants to grow. And so like, oh, this one needs to be exposed to like a flash. And it was one of the things that I remember trying. And so you end up putting these things together for like this old-timey camera to take a flash of this plant, and then it grows, and then it opens up a door, and then you know, you're going through the next place. Anyway, if I either had you at Witness or you're like, plants? What? Botany Manor, definitely one to keep an eye on. We'll, I'm sure, be talking about it more between now and next spring.
So yeah, that's kind of like what we've been playing. A little news. I think we have satisfied people's need for a game to play. There has to be something in there for you if you're looking for a new game. If your backlog, obviously, again, wasn't enough, as we've been saying almost every single week. But I know we have a few interviews, as Jeff takes a sip. He's like taking a sip and I'm throwing to him. We have a few interviews that we want to kind of showcase, right, Jeff?
Well, yeah. So we talked about big updates for Sea of Thieves and Halo Infinite. Also, really, really big updates for Cyberpunk 2077 and Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. So we're going straight to the source. So we've got Monica Yanofska from CDPR, CD Projekt Red, talking about the new 2.1 update, which looks super impressive, from our own resident expert on all things Cyberpunk, Tina Amini. And we were just talking a few minutes ago after she finished conversing with Monica. There's actually going to be a little bit of a spoiler cast, not during this, but at the end of the show, where to talk about, because this sort of really wraps up the story. So, you know, stay tuned for that. And then also, then you got to speak with Ted Timmons, who's the senior creative director over at Raven Software. That is the studio that is developing Warzone. Obviously Warzone, huge. I know you're a big BR fan. I'm very interested to hear what you and Ted had to say.
That's right. Let's check it out. Well, and we'll be right back after that with Free Code Friday. So stick around and check out these interviews. It is a very exciting week as season one of Warzone is out, and here to talk all about it is the senior creative director of Warzone, Ted Timmons. Ted, how are you?
Hey, Malik. Yeah, great to be here. Thank you for the invite.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like there are a few games that kind of garner the excitement that Call of Duty does. And I think specifically Warzone, people are really excited to jump in. And so I wanted to start a little bit with you. You know, we talked about senior creative director. What a title. Can you tell us a little bit about your history with Raven and just the COD universe in general?
Yeah, it's a great question. Honestly, from my side, I joined in the second year of Warzone's life cycle. So it was nice for me to go from being a fan to being a part of the game. It's one of those like pinch yourself moments, you know, where you get the phone call that you've got a job at somewhere like Raven on a brand the scale of Call of Duty. So yeah, huge privilege. It's a great honor today to represent the team and the team's hard work for the new year, the new season ahead of us. And just the excitement in the studio at the moment. I'm actually in the office, and yeah, you can feel it just walking around, that buzz.
And I mean, I'm sure you've seen it online. People have been super excited. I think we're going to get into a lot of the Warzone stuff, but I do want to say, I love when we hear stories about fans like working. I feel like we have that in common. That happened with me at Xbox, just a huge fan of Xbox. And here we are living our dreams, Ted. Now, before I make anyone else mad, we're going to jump right into Warzone because I know everyone wants to hear all about it. So season one of Warzone is out now, as of this going live on the podcast. And so can you tell us a little bit, and everyone out there who's ready to play, what they can expect when they jump in?
The first thing they'll see when they drop in is the brand new map, Urzikstan. We've been working on this map for at least 18 months now. The team have done a fantastic job. And what I love about the map is not only does it have its own identity, there's little parts of all the previous maps that we've built that you can just feel that newness mixed with nostalgia. Like it's this hybridized, highly dense experience where, yeah, when you jump in for the first time, it's a discoverer's dream because no one's been in the map yet unless they've been playing zombies. So we're excited to hear what people think about Urzikstan.
One, again, the reaction has been amazing. And everyone should go to news.xbox.com and check out the Wire post, because in it, you kind of mentioned that this is probably the best Warzone map ever. Can you tell us a little bit about what goes into designing a map for a BR, something like Urzikstan? Like, what goes into that? Things like, where are people going to drop? I'm sure that's taken into consideration as you're creating the map. So would love to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bold claim, right? To say it's the best. And now we have to hear from our players as to whether we hit that. I think we're putting our stake in the ground because we're confident. You know, at Call of Duty Next, we showed the map for the first time. The players that played, I believe it was around 250 players, they gave us really good feedback. And to answer your question about, you know, how do we build these massive, you know, huge scale maps, I think a lot of it goes down to like the design intent of the map. So when we set out to create Urzikstan, one of our goals was to create the most densely packed map that we've ever had. So, you know, normally you think about bigger, but it gets to a point where like it's just size. And we felt that instead of going for like size and scale, it'd be interesting to go for like a more densely packed map. And then secondly, to the feeling, you know, of that denseness, we worked very closely between the level designers and the game designers, because we wanted to make sure that on the game design side, one of our core pillars this year is to facilitate improved movement. So then you think, okay, well, the map is where players move. So therefore, it has to go hand in hand with that new movement philosophy on the game design side. So when you look at some of our new systems, when you think about the drivable train movement, whether you think about things like redeploy drones movement, whether you think about, in fact, really just all the world film mechanics, the new perks, like the list of things that impact movement between the world and the game design are massive. And again, the goal really being that there's a link that players feel like they were made together in unison.
Yeah, I want to go back to the drivable train because if anyone out there listening to the podcast or watching didn't know, I used to want to be a train driver when I was a little kid. And so now I get to live this out in the most ridiculous and over the top fashion. And we saw in the trailer, like the train running into like another vehicle. And because players can drive it, like that is something that we're going to see players, like how players kind of interact with the train and use it to their advantage. I'm really excited about that. Now, what do you have a favorite place? Again, people are going to be jumping in for the first time this week. What are some of your favorite spots to drop? Because I know like deciding how to make the map such that people don't all drop in the same spot was really important for you all. So what are some of your favorite spots?
Yeah, honestly, it's a good point. The train will be the hot drop. I am almost certain. And like you, I've got a real soft spot for the train. I think at the beginning of development, I became a bit of a meme internally because all I'd ever ask was, how's the train? When I was, you know, living in the UK, I had a steam train running along the back of the garden. So I think it subliminally, you know, was absorbed, and the team loved it. They've done, I've learned so much. I remember when we first started playtesting with the drivable train, one of our designers said, oh, you know, we should put a handbrake in the caboose. And I was like, what's a caboose? It's the rear carriage. So today I learned, right? We've had a lot of fun with it. So I think that will be a real hot drop. You know, the fact that you can go forward, backward, throw on the handbrake in the rear carriage, then you have a buy station, a UAV tower. Like, it's effectively a moving POI. And that's why, again, going back to like the gameplay with the world, you know, that seamless interaction. But then honestly, like, my favorite drop point is actually the Zaravan city itself. I feel like mechanically, you know, talking about movement, some of the things that the team have done where the city is very much under construction. And whenever you see these big cranes, like they're just like, you know, 50 stories high or something, you can actually just use ascenders just to get to the top and almost like organically then jump off to redeploy to wherever you want. But equally, you know, internally, whenever we do playtests, I've seen pop-off power plant be very popular. The old town and low town area in the middle of the map, you know, in a BR, you kind of always want to be somewhere near the middle. So I expect that to be popular. And yeah, I think really there's a drop point for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to kind of go in. And again, new maps are always fun because you get to rediscover your new favorite place to drop. And so it will probably be the train for me, and I will probably not do as well. But you know what? Speaking of not doing as well, I do want to go into one way that Warzone really innovated when it came out a few years ago, which was this idea of fighting to get back in the game, and that being, of course, the Gulag. Can you talk a little bit about some of what I'm going to spend all my time in the Gulag is why I'm asking. Can you talk a little bit about what players can expect when they jump into the Gulag? Are there any new changes that people can expect when they're fighting their way back into the BR?
Yeah, like you say, the Gulag was a massive innovation story for Warzone, and it's one of our real unique selling points, to be honest. Of when you think of the Gulag, you just, or even just second chance mechanics, like you can't not think about Warzone. And when we got together as a team at the beginning of development, we felt that we'd learned a lot about how, you know, the 1v1 experience was absolutely key to our players, but we still wanted to like innovate and develop it. So we got together and we kind of round tabled and just said, oh, you know, the public event system in the main like core experience is fantastic. You know, when you think of things like jailbreaks and fire sales, they were fantastic heartbeat moments, as we call them, where like it creates an emergent like spike in your adrenaline and everything else. And then we thought, like, how can we bring this to the Gulag? And then the team did like a breakout session, came back with a ton of cool ideas. So we've got a cash drop version where there's like a big stack of money in the middle of the Gulag. So it's trying to like pull you in to have an engagement. We've got one called Locked and Loaded, where you both have fully kitted weapons, full armor. And then we also have one called Go Again, which is if you lose your Gulag, you'll just go literally back into another Gulag and play someone else. So in that one, you can be a bit more aggressive, you can push a little harder. And then in Season 1 Reloaded in the new year, we'll be bringing in the Night Vision Gulag as well. So we didn't stop there, because when you think of the Gulag, you can't not think about the overtime condition, so the where you can capture the flag to win. We felt that given that players have been capturing flags in the Gulag for 3 years now, it was time for a change. So the new Silo Gulag has an ascender that will drop down around 10 seconds into the Gulag match. And if you're able to get on the ascender and zip up, and by the way, you can get shot at or you can shoot down, you will be the victor of the Gulag.
So many different ways. And so does it rotate? Is it like random, like which Gulag version you get each time you go in?
There's a percentage chance that, I mean, it could just also be the normal Gulag. Like, we don't want to lose that that sort of normal nature of the experience. But at the same time, we want to make sure that whether you're in your first Gulag game or your 1,000th Gulag game, they're as interesting as a fresh take, a fresh experience.
I love it. Keeping players on their toes. And I'm looking forward to when that night mode Gulag comes out. Because I think that's going to be really awesome. But I do love, like, people play different ways. And so I love the idea that going into the Gulag, you have to really be well-versed in all the different possibilities that the Gulag may present. Now, I want to talk a little bit more about some of the favorites, like from perks or other things inside Warzone that are really going to change up the gameplay. What are some of the, like, favorite perks that we are going to pop up in the gameplay that players can expect, stuff like that?
Yes, when we thought about perks, again, you know, it's not just part of Warzone, it's part of Call of Duty. Like, it's an inherent part of the Call of Duty DNA. And when we went to Call of Duty next, we had an opportunity to talk to some of our creators. And I remember this crowd of creators like cornered me and they're like, why isn't Temper the perk? Like, we love it because it's like an armor satchel that you can equip in the game. Came back and spoke to the team and was like, you know, do we think we could actually turn it into a perk? So yeah, you know, that's a great example of, you know, listening to player feedback. We have Tempered in as a as an equipable perk. But then also, I think Resolute will be a popular perk for anyone who's not aware of that perk. If you get shot at and you take damage, it'll give you a movement speed increase. So it just, it'll help you get out of a tricky situation. But, you know, if I have a soft spot for the train, I still also have a soft spot for some of our perks. And from my side, I really like Shrouded. For anyone who's not aware of Shrouded, that is a perk where effectively when you get downed, you will drop a smoke grenade. So think of this as our version of Martyrdom. If anyone remembers like Call of Duties of yesteryear, there was a bit of a troll perk where if you got killed, you would drop a grenade behind. We liked the general direction of that perk, but we just felt like a smoke grenade would really suit a big map experience. And then I'm also excited about the return of Combat Scout. It was in year three of Warzone. Got a lot of love and also got a little hate on the side. So it's fun to bring back something with some changes. We've taken on that feedback from year three. And yeah, I think Combat Scout, let's say the new version of Combat Scout will be a very popular one for players to equip.
Oh, so awesome. Again, like I've never been fast enough to, you know, do super well, but these, you know, different perks and all these other different gameplay, and then of course like working with your team has always been what I believe makes Warzone like just such a dynamic experience. It's not just about, you know, being the first to shoot, it's also about all these other things that together make it such an amazing experience. Now I want to kind of touch a little bit on multiplayer and how it interacts with Warzone. Can you talk a little bit about how that works?
Yeah, so you know, we have a great partnership with Sledgehammer. They're leading the multiplayer side of things this year. And you know, we work with them very closely in year three of Warzone. So we've got a great relationship with the studio, or between studios. From our side, you know, when we sit down and start to plan out something like Warzone, it's really important that we have those great communication paths between both studios to make sure that we're aligned. And when we sat down and we, as two studios, agreed that we wanted to really focus on movement, we wanted to have a higher health experience. You know, multiplayer has the increased health this year to 150. And it was awesome because to be that well aligned between teams just means that when we are working together on things that are shared, so things like weapons, it just means that there's a shared vision. Everyone's pointing in the same direction. And obviously the hope there from my side is whether players play MP or whether they play zombies, which is amazing. By the way, if you haven't played zombies, like go play it. The season one content from Treyarch is banging, technical term. And then obviously on the Warzone side as well, we want the weapons to feel familiar. Like you're going between different modes and they all feel like they're your weapons, they're personal to you. And then importantly, we're also saying to players, look, if you've been on this Modern Warfare journey with us from Modern Warfare 2 going into Modern Warfare 3, all of your content will carry over. So if you've got operators, if you've got weapons, anything that you've purchased or earned or been rewarded, you can jump in into Warzone or into multiplayer, into zombies, and that content is there and ready to go. So it's obviously a new philosophy. We're excited about it, and just can't wait to see what players think of this new year.
I mean, I love that. I think from a player's perspective, what's really important, as you mentioned, is making sure it does feel like a cohesive, a cohesive experience across the various modes that people may play. But beyond that, I also love the reverence that you show for kind of the commitments people have made in prior games and making sure those things carry over. And so even more reason and more to love the entire package that is going to be in Warzone Season 1. Now, I do want to shift gears. One of the ways that you all are innovating again, and one of the many ways, of course, is in the event space. And that's just like new modes, new kind of seasonal events. And I hear you have a new one coming up. I'll let you talk about the name because I just think it's so sure. Cool.
Yeah, so I'll quickly touch on modes, actually, just to, because yeah. I think that would tee up the event. Again, going back to like really listening to player feedback, like all year long, We've heard our players say, we love Battle Royale, we love Resurgence, and we love Plunder. So at launch, all three of those core modes will be available. And that, like, that's our commitment. And then we're also saying to our players that for the entirety of Season 1, so all the way into next year, Battle Royale will be available at all squad sizes, because sometimes we've rotated them. And again, we've just been listening and absorbing that feedback. So I think, first of all, like, that's a really important stake that we've put in the ground and say, if you jump in during Season 1, you can always play your favorite mode at your favorite squad size. But then to talk about the events, I'll first start talking about the public event side. So we had this idea, and it was actually inspired by an Infinity Ward mechanic from this year of Warzone, where a number of buy stations will fly into the map on drones and then be dropped. And one of our designers one day was like, we should call it flyby. And obviously the buy is effectively a pun. So who knew? Puns are now in Warzone. And yeah, it's a great mechanic. Again, when you think about player feedback, you can't not think about players having requested, you know, more access to buy stations and things like that. So I love that this is a cross-studio public event. I love that this hits the heart of player feedback and player sentiment. I also love that our designers are amazing at creating puns.
I would be remiss if I did not try and get a little bit of a scoop out of you. What, you know, players are excited for what's happening right now in Season 1, but can you give us a little tease into what's coming later on in the season?
Yeah, so Season 1 Reloaded, it'll be the halfway point through the season. We're bringing back Champion's Quest. So if anyone's not familiar with that, for this year of Warzone, we added it at the launch, and it's been one of our most well-received updates. And it now has a couple of new twists, which we'll let our players discover early in the new year. But also, you know, let's say that Champion's Quest is designed for that event, like high skill experience. We also think about, like, the breadth, the other 99% of our players. So for those players, we're introducing the weapon case mechanic that some players may remember from Modern Warfare 2, as well as something that we have called Covert Exfil. Now, we're keeping a little lid on that for now. We'll let players know a little more on that in the new year. But just think of Covert Exfil as a cheeky way to win. Let's say we'll leave it at that. We'll stay high level.
I love it. I love it. I won't pry anymore. I think you did just enough to get people excited for what's to come. Ted, this has been amazing. I think on behalf of all players and COD players specifically, like, congratulations on and thanks for all you do. Warzone looks exciting, and excited to jump into Urzikstan. Any last words for your Call of Duty fans and players out there that you want to leave them with?
Yeah, I just thank you for the opportunity. Yeah, thank you for this. Like, it's one of those, like, pinchy moments, right? Because you can't believe that we've been through you know, the last 18 months of development, and here we are with people actually playing. But I'd love to, you know, extend a big thanks to the team. They've been amazing. Everything we said we wanted to do for this year of Warzone, we've achieved. I'd like to say thank you to our partner studios. You know, everyone that's been involved, from Sledgehammer, Treyarch, Infinity Ward, and then we've got Beenox working on Rebirth Island for next year, and we've got High Moon Studios working on Fortune's Keep. Like, it's going to just be a fantastic year ahead. I always like to just end with just a thank you to our players. You know, whether you're a player who's been with us since 2020, whether you're a player that left for a little bit and you're dropping back to see what Urzikstan is like, or whether you're listening to this having never played Warzone, or maybe even never played Call of Duty, and you're like, oh man, like, I freaking love trains. I want to see what this train is all about. Then yeah, we'll see you in game, and I'll likely be driving the train. So yeah, you'll see me there too.
All right, Ted, I think we're going to be fighting over the train. But this has been awesome. Again, Season 1 is out now. We'll jump into Urzikstan. Thank you so much, Ted, for joining us, and we'll see you on the Warzone.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tina Meany, and I am delighted to be joined by Monica Janowska here from CD Projekt Red, producer on Cyberpunk 2077, which is very exciting because the team just released 2.1 update this week. So we get to dive into that with Monica. Monica, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you for having me. It's a great pleasure.
Yeah, I'm sure the team is in celebratory mode coming off of update after update. This one seems to be building off of the 2.0 update with a lot of new systems. So there's a lot to get through. First and foremost, I'd love to talk about the metro system, because that's something that people have been asking about for a while. We saw teases of it, kind of inspirations from the original announcement trailer. And everybody's been like, what is that? Can we get that in the game? So now we're getting it in the game. So can you tell the audience about what the Metro system is and how it actually functions in game?
Absolutely. So yeah, just like you said, Metro system is one of the features that has been really, really like desired by the community. And it has been mentioned multiple times. And we were like fully aware of it, although Metro has not been part of our plans for a very long time. However, with the 2.1 on the horizon, we like revisited the plan and we actually like analyzed the whole like scope of it, and we figured that it could be doable. So we decided to actually go for it. The Metro the NACART or like NCART, which is the Night City Area Rapid Transit, is like our like Metro experience. We have 19 Metro stations across Night City with 5 Metro lines. So basically players can use it not only as a fast travel point right now, but also as a full, you know, like just sightseeing, staring through the window and like admiring the city experience. Also, there is like a lot of interactions with NPCs inside the Metro. I've already seen something that players found out today. So I'm actually super surprised how fast it was. So great job, guys. I will not spoil what it was.
I was going to ask, honestly.
I'm not sure if you want to know, but it's actually like a pretty cool Easter egg with Keanu. So yeah, it seems like people actually went on exploring in the Metro. So it's actually great.
Yeah, I imagine so. And it's always surprising and never not too surprising that if there's something to be found, gamers will find it, especially if it's Keanu related. So very, very unsurprising there. Very exciting. Can't wait to discover what that Easter egg is myself. And there's a bunch of other stuff also in the update. One thing that stood out to me is there's tweaks to some boss fights. Obviously, the highlight there is with Adam Smasher. Seems like he's going to be stronger, more versatile, get the kind of full access to his Sand Devastan suit, which was something that people really gravitated towards more and more, especially as Cyberpunk Edgerunner became such a popular series on Netflix as well. So how did the team think about making those tweaks, both I imagine for balance, just for the player experience, but also narratively, like who Adam is? He's this big boss fight, you know, very significant in the story. So I'm curious how the team approached that consideration for how you all tweaked him for 2.1.
So Adam is, as you said, like pretty important character, and especially for people who watched Edgerunners, like we basically always wanted to have Adam as this undefeated, like unkillable machine, but not only durable and powerful, which he already is, but also fast.
Yeah, if anyone listening out there hasn't seen Edgerunners, highly recommend it. Incredible animated experience on Netflix. And I was watching your stream where you guys were talking about some of the updates coming. And I love to hear that he's going to be basically acting differently based on your character build. So there's a lot of reflection back on the player based on, you know, are you a netrunner? Do you play solo? Like there's going to be different responses based on his ability to kind of work around your strengths and weaknesses, I suppose. So that sounds very challenging indeed, appropriately so. And there's a ton of other updates as well. I'm going to just rattle through some of them and then would love to hear, you know, what am I missing? What are the fun details out of these? One thing I'm really excited about is, and maybe this sounds cheesy, but I'm really excited about the romantic partner hangouts. I love the character developments. And, you know, I spent a lot of time in my playthrough making sure that everyone as much as possible loved me, including, of course, Johnny Silverhand. But I love the idea that there's going to be these kind of repeatable, from what I understand, unlimited events where you can hang out with your partner in any of these apartments. So is there anything fun or that you could tease about, you know, what are these conversations like? Like, what are the hangouts like? You know, in the mainline game, you had all these opportunities to go on quests with them in a way that really develops your relationship. But this sounds like just a lot of opportunity to get to know them even better and just have more dialogue together as well.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I will not go into too much of details, but yeah, just like you said, they are repeatable events, unlimited, so you can do them like at any time, with one condition, that the romance story, or like the romance storyline with given character, needs to be concluded. So once it's concluded, you can basically visit any of your apartments and basically hang out with your love interests, and, you know, like do some just do some, you know, like chill, relaxing activities in apartment, like a lot of dialogues and so on. So I've seen and I've heard that a lot of people are very excited about it. Some of my close friends are like very into specific characters. I will not, you know, disclose the details, but I can already tell how excited some players will be to spend more time with their beloved characters, and they can actually repeat that. So, you know, it's actually very, very adorable.
I clearly think so too. It's such a great, like, you know, role playing game element that you get to spend time in. You spend a lot of time with these characters. You get so invested in who you are as the player character, your plight in the game, and how they kind of intersect with it. So I'm personally very excited about that one. But there's tons more still. There's going to be, for racing, there's replayable races, which is great news, because there's also new vehicles, including Johnny's Porsche 911. Or 911. I'm not great with car names. However, I love using the significant vehicles. I've actually only been using Jackie's motorcycle because it's Jackie, and you got to have that connection with him. So I'm glad that Johnny is going to get something in my garage as well. That'll definitely get put to good use. But are there any like big highlights that I've missed from 2.1? I know it's massive, of course, and there's the full patch notes out there as well for people to dig into. And I love reading patch notes. Honestly, there's always some fun stuff in there, including these big updates. But anything big that I missed from 2.1?
All right. So regarding vehicles and chases, since you actually like touched this topic, well, first of all, very good choice with the motorcycle, I need to admit.
Thank you. It runs so smooth too, and it's Jackie. I have to keep up the connection.
Of course. Yeah, we've added 5 more motorcycles. The Cabrio version of Porsche, just like you mentioned. Regarding the car chases, the car race, sorry, because there's 2 topics actually. So after finishing the Beast in Me quest, there will be additional icons on the map with like a racing flag. So players will be able to do additional races, to earn some additional eddies and also discounts on the Autofixer website, to get some extra stuff. So this is about races. Also, the AI in races has been improved, enhanced, so it's a little bit more competitive. So the experience is also much more fun. Then we have car chases. Basically, whenever we had to, like, you know, get the car and deliver it to a certain point, usually there was like not many obstacles on the way, but right now it's not gonna be that easy. Like, we can expect some obstacles on the way, some enemies like trying to stop us, so it also makes it much more interesting. Motorcycles actually got a big update regarding their like movement. You can like lean on the motorcycle, you can do like wheelie, you can do backflip. There's like, it basically makes it much more dynamic. So I'm actually super excited to see like some of the videos of what players will come up with, like, you know, regarding like crazy acrobatics mid-air and stuff like that. Also, you can currently throw knives and axes while on motorcycles. So, like, I'm really looking forward to like some crazy combos. Like, you know, just jumping mid-air, doing a flip, throwing knife. Perfect.
Yeah, it's the best for open world games. I can't wait to see people landing on unexpected rooftops and you know, crashing into things. And all the montages, the inevitable montages, and great for me too, because I'm the motorcycle driver. So the more wheelies and tricks I can do, the better. But this is all building off of the 2.0 update that rebuilt so many systems in Cyberpunk 2077. And it felt like it really redefined the open world nature and the combat in the game. It felt like it made it fuller and more aggressive and more rewardingly complex, especially when you're navigating the perks. I've actually, in playing the 2.0 update and also the Phantom Liberty DLC, I really gravitated towards becoming more of a netrunner just because of how things were rearranged. Tons of new weapons, vehicle combat, new movements, more aggressive police. It was an endless update. So I'm curious, you know, it's been 3 years since the game released. We got this 2.0 update. We have 2.1 now. You have the Ultimate Edition that combines the Phantom Liberty and Cyberpunk 2077 games together. So how has the team been thinking about the effective evolution of this game over the last 3 years? And why did the team want to make what are these, you know, fairly big changes too?
Yeah, as you said, it's been 3 years. the time flies. But after release of the base game, we knew that there is still a lot of work ahead of us, that a lot of things that we want to change, improve. And basically we focused on supporting the game, checking basically players like, you know, feedback, players' comments, players like playthroughs and so on, like seeing what people think about the game. And basically we wanted to still improve on that while part of the team was working on the patches to still improve iteratively on the game, while like part of the team was already after the release working on, you know, preparing Phantom Liberty, which we wanted to actually prove that we can create an incredible experience. So we decided to try to combine those, not only, you know, like improving the base game after the release, but also like to the point of releasing Phantom Liberty, we also did the big overhaul of 2.0, which introduced many, many changes regarding many systems, as you said, like gameplay adjustments, like traffic system, AI adjustments, and so on and so on. There has been a lot, like new weapons, perks, and like there's tons of like gameplay related things. If anyone's interested, go to the patch notes. There's like a list of all of those.
Quite a long list, yes.
It would take quite a while if I would go through the list right now. So yeah. But as you said, like the whole team really, really cares about Cyberpunk, and we definitely wanted to put multiple iterations to make this experience as good as possible. And like the patch 1.5 and 1.6 has brought like much more players to the game, especially after Edge Runners. A lot of people got interested in Cyberpunk, and we have seen this. A lot of people got actually like introduced to Cyberpunk, and they started to love it. And the whole team got really uplifted, like really, really got this passion. And we wanted to make it as best as possible. So we still wanted to use all this time that we had to introduce as many improvements as possible. So, you know, not only patches, as I said, 1.5, 1.6 were like a very good patches, as well as 2.0. So it was an iterative process of, you know, like checking players' feedback. Obviously, we wanted to introduce as much as possible. Not everything is always doable, as we know, but we always appreciate our players, especially whenever they are like, you know, sharing their whole passion, heart, and like their opinions with, you know, crazy ideas, what would be cool and so on. So yeah, we couldn't introduce everything, but we are doing our best to, as you said, basically make it the best possible experience.
Yeah, well, that's great to hear. I'm glad that it's been an uplifting journey for the developers, for the team. I think it's well earned, and it was incredible timing to have 2.0 and Phantom Liberty. You know, Phantom Liberty, really, I was absolutely going to play that game. So, or the DLC, the expansion for the game. So it was exciting to be able to experience the 2.0 update alongside that. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that feel the same as well. So massive congrats to the team. I'm sure everyone is very excited to hear everything coming new to the 2.1 update and to also rein in the celebrations for the Ultimate Edition releasing this week as well. Where can our audience go to find out more about both the update and the Ultimate Edition before I let you go?
Definitely X or former Twitter, if you guys are using. We're posting all of our links there, also on cyberpunk.net. Everything is in there, all of the updates, patch notes, videos, on our YouTube channel. So, you know, there are multiple ways to check all of those information. But cyberpunk.net definitely is the place that should collect all of them. Plus our various social media, of course.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for joining us. And also, congratulations on your recent 8-year anniversary at CD Projekt Red. That's an incredible achievement. So congratulations to you, too.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks to Monica and Tina talking about Cyberpunk, the new Cyberpunk 2077 update, as well as Ted from Raven Software talking about what's coming to Warzone. Great interviews. Excited. Lots of stuff to play. But that's kind of been our show. But of course, before we leave, we gotta give you a little something. So, Jeff, I hear we have a new Free Code Friday. Is that
yeah?
Is
well,
that
we've right? been yeah. So, just so you know how this works, Free Code Friday is back. We've done it for the last few weeks. We asked the question here, and what happens is on Friday at noon Pacific, that's 3 p.m. Eastern, or you can find out what time that is wherever it is that you live. We will put out a tweet on twitter.com/XboxWire. That is at Xbox Wire. And at that point, you put the answer to this question. We will then leave that up for 2 hours. We have a random selection tool. And to anyone who is following and answers the question, then we will, if they're randomly selected, send them over a code. And for this week, to tie it in with this week, we have codes for Cyberpunk. The game has come so far, there's so much to do now. I'm very excited to get back to my Phantom Liberty playthrough. There's been so much to play. So if you haven't started, this is your chance. So the question is, well, you know, we're actually going to be hopping on a plane and heading over to the Game Awards themselves here in a little bit. And so I'm just wondering, what's your favorite game of the year? You know, let's not talk best game. That's fighting words because, you know,
of course.
Best game is... Can you name a best game? I don't know.
It's subjective.
You have a favorite game of the year. So I'm going to know, what is your favorite game of the year? I've talked about it a bunch. It's very tough. It's a very tough year to pick. But for me, it's Liza P. What about you, Malik?
You know, I was hoping that we would ask this question without saying ours, because I don't know. It's been such a tough year. But, you know, if I had, you know, if someone's like,
You have to pick.
I know. If someone's like, I'm going to take your Xbox away if you don't answer this question, which it seems like Jeff is hinting towards, I would probably... I'm going to go Starfield. Listen, I have not completed the game yet, okay? But, like, the amount of joy that I've had from, like, kind of exploring and just roaming around space and landing on new planets and even seeing, like, the flag that's on our moon, that's just the coolest thing ever, the Easter eggs. I just had a great time.
Do that.
Oh, there's some stuff that I've been looking for, and so
I went to the moon like very early on in my playthrough, it was literally like one of the very first things I did.
Yeah,
and I landed near a base where I was highly underleveled, and I just got the heck out of there, and I never went back. And
that'll do it.
Well,
here's a tip. If anyone listening, and this is not a spoiler, I would never do that. And I also haven't finished the game. However, which is weird since my game of the year, but there is a book that you have to find that will allow you to find that spot. And so, and there's a lot of different things on Earth. If you find certain things around the planet or around in space, you can visit certain things on Earth, like the Empire State Building is still on our planet. Somehow it survived, which is interesting.
But, I landed in Philly you know. I just wanted to see if, like, around there, like, I draw on the map, and I was like, this is Philly, and I was like, the Lombardi trophy from, you know, the Super Bowl in 2019 was not just sitting there, but, you know.
Darn, we got it. Maybe in an update.
Yeah, work on that. But, all right, so we talked about our favorite games of the year. We want to know yours. Again, Friday, it's called Free Code Friday. Head on over to twitter.com/XboxWire. When you see the tweet at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, I'll help you out here. 8 p.m. GMT, 9 p.m. Central European time. I don't know any other ones. Then just answer your question. No wrong answers. Don't care what you pick. But you have to be following because we will DM the winners and we select those randomly. You have about a 2-hour window there. Enjoy your Free Code Friday. Cyberpunk 2077 is coming to 5 lucky winners that answer that question.
That's right.
Speaking about Cyberpunk, we've got a little more to talk about here, don't we? As we leave, right? Do you want to tee this up?
Oh, do we? What do we have to talk? I actually don't know what we have to talk about.
Tina, I'll tee you up then. Tina, in her conversations with Monica Yanofsky from CDPR, actually wanted to, there were no spoilers, obviously, in the part that was there, but she wanted to talk about some of those spoilers. So if you haven't beaten everything that there is to see and do in Cyberpunk 2077, so long. Great to see you. We'll see you next week. But if you do, if you want to hear that, you want to hear a spoiler cast conversation, Tina and Monica are going to take it here as soon as you wrap up here, Malik.
Well, you know what? I won't keep the folks waiting any longer. Thank you so much for watching the official Xbox podcast. You know what to do. Hit the follow button, subscribe button, basically whatever button lets you know when we post a new show, which we do every single week. It's been an honor and privilege joining you and having you be a part of this Xbox family of ours. And so we will catch you all next week back in studio. But until then, happy gaming and be safe. Catch you later.
And I've got one big last question for you. There might be some spoilers in here. So for anyone listening, if you have not finished the game and you don't know what maybe the ending experience might be, you can feel free to skip ahead to the next segment. But I have been so interested in how the team has really thought about, especially with Phantom Liberty, how the team thought about bringing the new endings from Phantom Liberty to live alongside all the other options that the players have with the ending variations in the main line of the game. When I had heard about the announcement of Phantom Liberty, that was the first thing that I was immediately curious about, like, how does that impact V's fate and your struggle throughout the game? You know, it feels like a lot of Cyberpunk, the world of Cyberpunk, V and V's fate is just doomed and devastating. And I love how that integrates with the universe, because Night City is not exactly a super friendly place where everybody's living happily. There's a lot of disparity there. And so V is just yet another person kind of trying to struggle on, obviously in a very unique way from anyone else. But I'm curious just about how the team was thinking about V and the endings and how Phantom Liberty kind of expands on that and what the kind of narrative touch points are there.
Yeah, for sure. So just like you said, spoilers. So if
spoilers.
Doesn't want to hear, then, you know.
Yes.
You have been warned. Night City is like, you know, a rough environment. Like, at the end of the day, Cyberpunk story is one about both death and survival. V's main dividing force is to save themselves from the inevitable demise as their mind gets consumed by the relic. So in this world, unlike to ours, money, influence, and power are the means of survival. So basically, the Phantom Liberty explores another facet of it, with V looking for hope in political power and some of the darkest corners of the world. So Songbird is basically a character, on the other hand, very similar in many ways to V, that we cross on our path. And in many ways, she can also act as a mirror to V, embodying the question, what's the price that we want to pay for survival and what happens when it becomes too high? Not sure if you want to talk about the other endings that...
I think you put it in a very spoiler-free way, actually, even though we've given all the warnings. And I love what you said about Songbird being a mirror for V, because there were so many times when I was playing, and not just in Phantom Liberty when we're introduced to Songbird, but in Cyberpunk 2077 overall, there's just so many times where I had to pause and just kind of look away from the game and think, like, what do I want to do here? Because there's no real good choices. There's always a sacrifice to be made. And I loved when I finished Cyberpunk 2077, I immediately went online to see, like, what did everybody else choose to do and why? And everyone had their own reasons. And it wasn't necessarily the right or wrong reason. It was very personal and people had very different interpretations. And I think that's really an incredible thing to come out of a game and a game's story and feel like, still confused, but in a good way as well. And that's just a really nice balance that Phantom Liberty also continued, because there were still just, I have a lot of regret in terms of how I played the game, but I'm also not sure that had I gone back and done things differently, because I'm absolutely a safe scrum, I will necessarily think that that was the better choice either. I still feel like at the end, there are always these sacrifices you have to make. So I love how you frame that with Songbird being that mirror too.
Yeah, but you know, there's also like the new endings in added together with Phantom Liberty, and similar to The Witcher 3, Hearts of Stone endings. I don't know if you guys played or not. They are conclusion, like the new endings in Cyberpunk. They are conclusion to the story, but not necessarily to the like V story, even though they have a huge impact on our character. It was always important for us in Phantom Liberty to not only fit the rest of the game, but also make it compelling, like fully realized the story by itself. When we feel we managed to do that with the new ending of the main story. On the other hand, to stay true with themselves of, you know, with like Johnny and his ending, like their journey. However, in like, it echoes the story of Phantom Liberty. However, like regarding the new ending, once again, it ponders the price that needs to be paid for like to survive. So it's neither good or bad ending, in my opinion, although I've heard multiple different comments about it. Some people were happy with it, some people were not. So the opinions are very split. Mm-hmm. Another answer is like, or like rather question, literally, what is the price that people are willing to survive? So, you know, the perfect ending might not exist, but it's still a survival after all. So, yeah, as you said, yes. It's
very fitting.
Yes.
Yes, it's the perfect variations on endings for the Cyberpunk 2077 world. A lot of interesting debate and conversation around that. But Monica, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for joining.